happy to be here. Have this fellowship around the word. Lord, we ask you for revelation. We ask for you daily, Lord, for leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we know that that's the promise, Lord, that you've promised to your bride, to your people in this last day. And Lord, throughout the scripture, throughout the history of the world from Genesis to Revelation, Lord, you've been with your people always, leading them and guiding them, protecting them, supplying for them. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, we want to keep it daily, Lord, surrender to you. And Lord, that you would have your way. Help us and guide us, Lord. Our strength comes from you. We know that we're not doing it on our own. We know we don't have the ability, Lord, physically or mentally or spiritually, Lord, but it's every bit you. And we look to thee, Lord. Bless your people now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Good to see each one. We're really happy to see Sharon with us this morning. Amen. And so, God bless you so much. And we thank you. We thank the Lord. Amen. For his great hand of mercy and grace. And we know that he has all things in control. And now, we were able to go to the funeral yesterday for Brother Mike Anton, and it went really well. I thought Brother Paul gave a really good testimony, and Brother Josh ministered the service. It was really good, and so I think the things that they said were just really. They talked well of the life of Mike. And then the good thing is there were some spiritual things that had taken place that he had just recently come back around and was trying to get his life back together. And so that's always the greatest thing. And so that's the thing that we want from anyone. And I think that, you know, even if you're a seed, it doesn't mean you can't backslide. You can, and sometimes we do. And you know, one place Brother Branham said we backslide every day. So, but sometimes we go away for a little while. But if you're a seed, it never leaves you. You're conscious every day of the presence of God. And you'll even confess with your lips that you're not right. You'll say it. And he said it. He said it, and He said, I know it's the truth, I just can't live it. I just can't live it. And so that's where he was at. And then he went off for a while. But I knew when we were young, our families were young, we were very close to Mike and Robbie. And when we moved from Florida to here, they were good friends and they helped us. They helped us a lot. And so we were really poor in those days, and he had a good job at Duke Power, and so they were just real friends, and they helped us in a lot of ways. And so I was so happy to hear that he had come back to the Lord. And so I know that I hadn't seen him in years. I don't know how many years it's been. I want to say 20 years, but maybe 15 to 20 years. It's been that long since he left the church. And but now, and hadn't seen his family in all those years, but every one of his children, I understand, every one of his children are believe the message or in a message church somewhere. I don't know where, but that's great. I thank God. So we just pray for the family that God will be with them. And so we have something this morning that we're going to attempt to minister. And I'm still, this is something, I've preached these things in the past. And somewhere back of some years ago, something happened in my computer and I lost so much of my study folder. And I mean a lot. And I saved everything. I just, let's just, like I do. I do it in the spiritual as I do in the natural. And so I save, you know, all my quotes, I saved everything and I label it, throw it in a file, put it in a folder, and I just had tons and tons and tons. And one time, I think Brother Chris seen one time the files that I had, and he said, that's a lot. And I have to, because I don't have the memory. I asked Brother Chris one time about it. I said, Brother, how do you file yours? I was wanting to, you know, maybe a better way to do mine. And I asked him, I said, how do you do it? And he said, I don't file anything. He remembers everything. So he remembers the keys, you know. And so, because I find myself looking for a quote, and I don't have it perfectly. I just remember some words in there. And so sometimes, you know, we get to paraphrasing and we actually get a little bit away from the quote. Brother Chris he just has a good memory. And so I have a hard time. So I try to save it so I can go find it. And so I lost a bunch of stuff. And a lot of it, I realize now that it was on the Godhead. I was listening to Brother Joshua Kiyoko yesterday on the capstone. He was ministering. His title was the Manifestations of the Sons and Daughters of God. And so I was listening in, he went off onto the Godhead, and it brought back memories of things that we had preached many, many years ago, and maybe 15 or more years. There in Kenya, I think one of the first times I preached some of these things was we were in Meru with Brother Gumba and Brother Keenan. But I lost all of that. So yesterday, I just really felt inspired. I kind of finished up on the Keystone, and so I didn't know what I was going to do for today. And so I was praying about it, and I just enjoyed listening to Brother yesterday, and so it really inspired me on this part of it. He had was much broader, and so I've spent a lot of time trying to find the quotes. That's what I'm trying to say. And so, as always, we never finish getting ready. We never get it all how we'd like to have it. But anyways, we're going to start this morning in John chapter 14 and verse 1, and then I have some quotes. So he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believed in God, believe also in me." I'm sorry here. You believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. Now he's putting it on them. He's telling them, you know where I'm going. And the way, you know. And he's going to find out they don't. But we should. And Brother Branham said we should. And Jesus said we should. A lot of things we should know, but we don't. Somehow we're slow to get it. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now he's going to confess some more that he don't know. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. You know, I don't know about in that day, but I know in this day, this is humbling. This is humbling. When we just say, I don't know. I don't know. You know, we're reading it plainly there, and we say, I don't know what it means. And he's just honestly telling the Lord that he don't know. And he wants to know. He wants to know. But Jesus is telling him he knows. Jesus is saying, you know. You know where I'm going. You know the way. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Well, we could answer that and say, well, they didn't understand because you kept talking about the Father. You kept talking about Him and you prayed to Him and you referred to Him all the time. Amen. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Now He's identifying now where the Father's at. He's identified how you can see Him. He's saying, if you see me, you see the Father. And He said, now, it's the Father that's in me. He's in me, and He's the one doing this. And that's the reason I told you I can't do anything except He shows me. And He shows me something, then He's still doing it. He's just using this vessel to do what He wants to do. It's God that's doing it. So, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake. Amen. So, now I'm going to go into this message in 1961 called the Message of Grace. And I just have one small quote here, one paragraph, paragraph 78. Now my Christian friends, and these tapes here that it's being made will spread across the world. And let me ask you something. You who try to make God be three gods. Or, we know what that group is, that we call that Trinitarians. Those people that make Him three gods. And we're going to get a definition of that in just a little bit. And you who try to make Him to be one, like your finger. See? And He stops and He says, He's one in person. He's one in person. Brother Branham has given us a key there. He's given us description. And there's those. And actually the Trinity doctrine declares there's one God. But it says there's three persons. And there's another thing that I can't think of how to say the word right now. Trithism. Trithism. Anyways, it's different than Trinity. I'm getting ahead of myself, but anyways, it means Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three gods. Trinitarian is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God, three persons. And so that's where the Trinitarians are off, and that's where the other ones are off. And that was really big. It's still here, but that was really big in the early 1800s. And so, but now we'll have another group He's going to introduce in a minute, and that's going to be the oneness. And so this is the group that He's talking about when He said, you who try to make Him to be one like your finger. Now, this was something I didn't understand for a long time when I came to the message. And as Brother Branham said, the Godhead is a revelation. The Godhead has to be revealed for you to understand it. And so he said water baptism. He said that's just plainly written right there in the Bible. But he said the Godhead, he said, that's a mystery. And the Bible says it's a mystery. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. And so then it tells all the things, of the ways that He revealed Himself. And so, but here He's saying He's one in person. So let's keep reading because I have a lot this morning. And He said, there is where the oneness missed it. There is where the Trinity missed it. Both sides of the road. But the happy medium is right in between. From the oneness and from the Trinity. And remember, the oneness or that group that says he's one like your finger. And that's exactly how I believed it, exactly how I understood it, and that's exactly probably how most of the message people understand it today. And so, because it's a revelation. And I just ignored it for all those years. I didn't understand it, and I didn't know how. And the only thing I knew is when Brother Branham talked about it, that what he's fixing to say here is what he said most of the time. Not every time, most of the time. Let's read that. If God could be his own father, if Jesus was his own father, see, he couldn't be. If he had another father besides God, and the Bible said the Holy Ghost was his father. Now, he's talking here of the difference, and he's talking about this one like your finger. And so he's saying the reason he can't be one like your finger is because he's not his own father. God is his father. So he was a created being. Jesus was a created being. He was a man that was created by God, that God came down and dwelt in that man. And so that man was a spoken seed word of God, that flesh, God spoke it into existence, and then the fullness of the Godhead bodily came into that man. And he was a man. That's the thing. I can remember when I first started really realizing this, and it was hard to say. And it reminded me of when I seen the truth that when the seals was opened, redemption was over. And when Brother Branham said in the token message that the blood were not under the blood covenant any longer. And it actually scared me to say that. It scared me to preach that, because I thought, this is the greatest thing in the whole Bible, is the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the thing that cleanses us from our sins. And Brother Branham very clearly said it. And I can remember being in a little church on the side of the road, a Waiyaki Way in Kenya, preaching this. And the pastor's wife, when I read that the blood covenant was over, her mouth dropped open. I mean, just literally, you could tell she was in shock. And by that time I was okay, but going back before that, it was hard to say it, because I was so afraid I was going to say something wrong, that I was going to say something against that. And I didn't want to say nothing against it, because to me that was the greatest thing in the Bible. And so, but now the prophet, he identified it in the scriptures, and he told us that in Hebrews there, he said that it was an everlasting covenant. It wasn't eternal, because it was going to come to a close. And that when the seals opened, that was going to finish it. And then we were going to come under a spirit covenant, a new covenant, an eternal covenant. And that was going to be the literal life, not the baptism as they had it, but the literal life of Jesus Christ coming in the believer. And so that was the same way when I started seeing this. It just made a fear for me, because because I didn't understand it for so long. And when I admitted in the Philippines one time that how long it had been that I didn't understand it, a preacher just laughed. He just belly laughed. I mean, he broke out, belly laughed, sitting there in a minister's meeting. There was, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 of them. But this one, he really got a chuckle out of it. And I said, well, this is the reason why. And for background, when I came into the message, When I came to the Lord, that was the number one thing that I knew and that I preached and I would argue with anybody about. And you say argue? Yeah, that's what I did. I argued. And so, and that was that there was one God and his name was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the number one thing I knew. And that was the thing when I come to the message, that was my number one thing. And so that's what anybody wanted to know truth. That's how much I had of it. But I didn't understand the Godhead. I thought I did. I thought I did. By those two things, one God, what his name was, I thought I understood. That doesn't explain he's not one like your finger. That doesn't explain in Genesis where he said, let us create man in our image. Create. Let us create man. So there was something more there that I wasn't getting. And so I know most of you know all this, and so, but for the children, there's some children listening in, let it be for them. See, if God could be his own father, see, if Jesus was his own father, he couldn't be. If he had another father besides God, and the Bible said the Holy Ghost was his father, see, and if they're two different spirits, see, he was an illegitimate child. That's right. So you see what he's saying. First of all, he's establishing he had a father. And secondly, if you take the explanation of the theologians and the way they explain the Bible, then he has two fathers. Because the Bible said the Holy Ghost is his father, and then the Bible says the Father, his Father. So he said, so if that's two different spirits, then you've messed it all up again. And that's what the theologians have done. They've messed it up. That's right. Which was the father of him? See? God or the Holy Ghost? You say one, and watch how embarrassed you're going to get. God was his father. Is that right? Yes. So, in the seed not ever with the shuck, Matthew 1:18, he said, now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they come together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Now who is his father? See what I mean? Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately on this wise. Behold, while he thought on those things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of, and Brother Brandon pauses, and the congregation says, Holy Ghost. So Brother Brandon said, I thought they said God the Father was his father. See? Oh, theologians, where is your understanding? Notice it shall be light about the evening time. Praise God for that light that came in this last day. Now, we're going to go back in 1957, and message, I will restore, and he's talking about those worms, the canker worm, and as that thing's coming, destroying. And I cut a lot out of here, but there's some I left in here because I wanted you to get the picture of how Satan was destroying this revelation all the way through. That's what took place all the way back in the first age, immediately, after Christ, after the Apostle Paul began his ministry, immediately Satan came in and began to deceive and to destroy. That it was taking place just that early on. So, paragraph 32. Now, of course, we people today, we believe there's three. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is the three persons of the one true God. See, it's three offices, not three gods. It's three offices. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's three manifestations of the same God. Listen now, and we think that was ridiculous in the Catholic Church, but we brought it right down here at Pentecost and tore yourself to pieces with it, set up another organization, started something else, see, instead of coming like brethren with brotherly love and with unity. Listen to this prophet now. What he's doing is exposing that spirit that they had back there that was causing this division, that was causing this wrong revelation. He's exposing it. And at the same time he's exposing it, he's giving us discernment to see it in this day that we live in. Jesus Christ, let's see, let me back up a little bit more. Instead of coming like brethren with brotherly love and unity, the first one began to see that the three persons of the Godhead was in one person, Jesus Christ. He was the manifestation of God in flesh and not another man. What is he saying? He's saying that the first one of you that God started giving this revelation, that it wasn't three different people, it wasn't three gods, but it was three manifestations of the same God. He said, instead of you coming together with your brothers and holding on to one another and loving one another and trying to come into this revelation together and let God further it, what do? Just what they do. make a denomination. And then you set up and got a little dogmatic idea of the oneness, so-called. And then you started on that and you begin to harp on it. And you made God one like your finger. See? One. And you know that's wrong. You scholars know better than that. But what was it? It was because the palmer worm began to eat first. Instead of setting and reasoning together, when I come into the fractions, when I come into the fractions of the Pentecostals, they set a table bigger than that. With their heads around, you go this and you can't go to this, and you preach for them and you can't preach for me. What about it? Does that sound familiar? Is it exactly what we have today? It's exactly the same spirit. It's exactly the same spirit. I said, we are brethren, absolutely. And I thought, I was thinking on this, and I said, you know, I really feel like that God is letting us see things that we haven't seen before. And I know for me, I know I'm seeing things that I haven't clearly seen before. And, you know, sometimes I'll see something and I'll think, and I see things when these brothers preach. And so sometimes I see things in my study. But most of the time when I stop and think about it, the basis of it, it came a long time ago. It came a long time ago. And that's one reason why I appreciate Brother Holmes. I appreciate his ministry because I sat under that and, I was taught under that. And so he brought a lot of things that was hard to understand. In those days, it was new to us. And so, but I see even in the other churches, and I said this maybe 10 years ago, I hate to call names. I do it a good bit, I guess, but I shouldn't. But there was a brother that came here, and he preached the message on the rapture. And they didn't agree with us in the mysteries and stuff. And a lot of our young people were going to him, going to his church. And so they were leaving, and they just was, there was a couple of doctrines they wanted to get away from. And so that's why they went. And they ended up not agreeing with him at the end of the day. But he came here and he preached on the rapture. And he preached like he understood it just the way we believe it. I mean, he preached it as good as anybody I've heard it preach. And he let me testify in his church one time. And I said that. I said, this brother, you came, you preached at our church. And I said, that was as good a message as I ever heard at that time. And this has been at least 10 years ago, I think, something like eight to 10 years. So that's as good a message I ever heard on the rapture. I said, but Brother Holmes was preaching that 20 years ago, and people thought he was out of his mind. People thought he was crazy. And people separated themselves from him because of that. And I said, now, you know, if you get in, so once you get put out, you're out. They don't bring you back in. They don't bring you back in. But if you're in the big church and you can, you know, you can, I don't want to say water it down, but maybe that's what it is, but you can, you know, you can put icing on it and make it sweet and bring it like this. And the people, I heard it said, another preacher the other day I was listening to, I heard him make the same, he was in a church that don't see the rapture clearly, and they know a lot, but he told them. He didn't come out and preach it to them and reveal it to them, but he told them, he just said, if you're going to say that the rapture is the way they've been going, and you're not going to recognize something spiritual is happening, has happened and is happening, he said, if you're not going to acknowledge that, he said, then you're missing it, because something has taken place. And then if you're going to take what Brother Branham is saying, if you're going to recognize what Brother Branham is saying, something, there's more to it than this idea that people have that you're just going to fly off. And what's amazing is I keep hearing message preachers say the same thing about the rapture that the denominations have been saying for I don't know, 1,000 years or 2,000 years. I don't know how long they've been preaching it that way, but they got this idea that they twisted up. They twisted it up, and they keep talking about this going away somewhere in the air. And so, and you say, that's the scripture. It is the scripture. It absolutely is. And so, and it's going to happen just the way God seen it in his mind. Not the way the theologian seen it in his mind, but the way God seen it in his mind. And that's the reason this thing throws people off. So watch what he says about this unity. If the oneness fraction hadn't went off to one side and made an issue, see, if they'd have stayed with their brothers, see, then, and let the Holy Ghost anoint them, that thing would have never splattered and broke up the brotherhood the way it did. You had to have a little unity of your own. Now, that word unity is coming together, right? That's when we all come together. But he's talking about this unity that they're going to have. It's their own little unity. So it's a separation, and then it's a clan. It's a, we got, this is our group, this is our revelation, and we don't care about the rest of you. The same spirit was in Paul's day. The same spirit was in the seventh church age. And that same spirit is following right in through the end time. See, unity is not an isolated thing, brethren. Unity is for the whole body of Christ. It started in the early days, Paul said. When I come among you, this one has this and this one has that. One said, I'm of Cephas, and one of Paul. And was Cephas crucified? Would you baptize in the name of Paul? Why, that stuff had already started, and it was eating into the church. It had already started. See? Now, but they, and how? How did it start? The revelation had just come. And there they were taken, and some of them didn't want this new message. They wanted to stay back under that. And then the ones that did take this new message, how is it that they began to take it and interpret themselves? Because God always leaves them a door. God leaves them a door to do that. Because he speaks it in a mystery so that they can take it and interpret it themselves. And it takes them right out of the presence of God. And God has a group of people that will not do it, that they're going to wait on him. Maybe when everybody else is running and jumping and shouting and they're having a revival and it's not settled yet in your heart, you're waiting on God to reveal that thing. That's right. You've seen it. You've seen it over through the years that people come with a revelation and it's this and this and this. Why is it that you didn't jump on the bandwagon? Why didn't you jump on? Because there's something there didn't go all the way through. Amen. It didn't go all the way. And you've seen it. I know you've seen it. And you can't help it. The seed of God is going to wait on God for that revelation. He's going to make it clear. See, but they had in the beginning, is unity of the one true God. Just a few days ago, I got a letter from Africa, Brother Judy. Now, I want you to know that there was two fractions of them there. And they, and I'm not going to read all of that, but he goes into the details that they had two fractions. They divided over the baptism. Okay? So one group was baptizing three times face down, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The other group, the separation now, this is the disagreement, the other group now is baptizing three times backwards. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So they're going to separate now. They're going to separate now and not have any fellowship with one another. And you don't go to that group. You don't go to this group. You can't preach for us. We're not preaching for you. That's what happens. Brother Branham said, what difference does it make? Wait, let me back up just 1 minute. In the red there if you have it. And they split up. My goodness, brethren, can't you see? Don't you understand? Let it be a vision to you. Let it be a vision. What difference does it make? When we've lost our feeling of brotherhood, we're in terrible shape. Do you get it? But these little things that break out, then somebody grabs it, and will make us a unity. That's not unity. That's pure, petty jealousy. Get what I mean? We need real Christian apostolic unity. Yes, sir. Amen. God help us to have that. And when I was talking a while ago, I mentioned about a revelation. I'm sure there's things in there, maybe that hasn't been revealed. But I think there's probably not much in there that hasn't been preached. That hasn't been preached. So, this is my opinion now, so I'm not making doctrine, okay? I'm just my opinion. I just feel like God, we're laying in the presence of the Son, and God is making it real to us. And I don't think this is a time for me to say, I said it first, or you said it first, or he said it first. It's not about who said it first. We don't even know who said it first. Maybe you might know who told you first, but you don't know that's the first time it was preached. It could have been somebody else preached it before that person preached it. You don't know. But the problem is, it's just what he's talking about. Most of the time, when something's coming forth, that person is stressing the fact that I'm the only one. I'm the first one. Nobody else is saying this. I'm the only one. That already is the wrong attitude. It's already the wrong attitude. I was in a convention one time, and a preacher was talking to me, and he said, "Brother, I want to ask you something." I said, "What?" He said, "One thing I haven't heard anybody say in these meetings." There was people that came in from different places. And I said, "Well, what is that?" And he said, "That these people are not deep as us." And I was just like in shock. And I thought, is that something you want somebody to say? Is that something that you want your people to have that kind of attitude and say, well, we're deeper than these people. We know more than these people. I don't want that attitude. I don't want the people to have that attitude. And it amazes me when a preacher has that attitude and then he wants his people to have that attitude. But after I thought about it, the reason that you want them to have that attitude, because it's all going to come back to the top. It's going to all, the credit's going to come back. We're deeper than, why are we deeper? Because the preacher. When we're seeking credit for these things, then it goes right back to the spirit Brother Branham's talking about. Are we getting them to Christ or are we getting them to a man? Right. Where are we getting people? Notice quickly to get this. It's questions and answers on Genesis in 53. This is way back there now. And you know, in those early days in the 50s, he talked a lot about the Godhead. He really did some deep going way back and before the foundation of the world, and really some just interesting things there. Notice now quickly. Yes, my dear Christian friend, the day of the Gentile is finished. Finishing right now. See, and God will return to the Jews. Now, this is in 1953. And so this is 10 years and 3 months before the seals are being revealed. So this wasn't like that we just turned on a dime and, oh, there's seals. No, he knew that we were at the end time. He knew that something was taking place. He knew that the Gentile dispensation was finishing up. He knew these things. It was coming little by little. Listen what he says. And let me say this to the little church that I'm praying constantly. And prophecies from different parts of the country are pouring in here concerning this. Prophecies. So there was a spirit. Now, this is, once again, this is 53, so this is going to be, what, about 46, 47 years since Azusa Street. And from Azusa Street, that outpouring there, people were prophesying, they were discernment, they had lots of things was going, lots of gifts were poured out, lots of things was taking place. And he's identifying here that these prophecies are coming in from all over the country. The Spirit of God is directing the people into this thing that's fixing to take place and into the thing that's taking place right then as he's speaking. And the prophecies from different parts of the country are pouring in here concerning this. And the Jews has never been able to conceive this one thing of the Christian church. This is the stumbling block of the Protestants to the Jews, is what he's going to bring. See? And the Jews has told me many times, brother, you can't chop God in three parts and give them to me. The Jew has one God, and that's Jehovah. Praise be to God. And the Gentile has misconstrued that so much till he's caught in a way yet with knowledge. Yeah, it's intellect. I believe he has a conception of it. And there's no three gods. There's one God. Three manifestations, three personalities in one person. See, when you can get the message. And I said to Brother Hyman, many of you know him, brother. He said, Brother Branham, if you take that message to Palestine with the signs and wonders, said there'll be a million Jews receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. If you go there with that gift, if you go there with the truth of one God, not this idea of two or three gods or three persons. Here's the message we have here. Jesus was Jehovah unveiled in flesh. He come down unveiled. Now God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, is not like your finger, one, like some people thinks it. I'm a Trinity. Now he's going to break this down some. Now I've got a few quotes. They say the same thing. He's talking about being one like your finger, and then we'll move on to another part of this. But I have two or three of these quotes here, and he's saying the same thing, so it's not just a mishap. But actually, I've had people tell me that Brother Branham was a Trinitarian before he became a oneness. And you can't, and I actually think that this is where they got the idea from, that they're misunderstanding what he's saying here. They don't understand what he's talking about when he says God's not one like your finger. This is not a mistake that Brother Branham made. He knows what he's talking about. Jesus was not his own father. Jesus was a man because God needed a body that he could die in because God couldn't die. So God created a body that made him the father of that body. And that body was a man. That was a man. And that man, even though it was supernatural birth, even a virgin birth, even though it was the created seed and the created egg, even though it was all of that, it was still flesh and blood. Huh? Yes, sir. Now, if it was a supernatural flesh and blood, he wouldn't have got those headaches. And he wouldn't have got sick. And he wouldn't be able to die. No, he wouldn't have been able to. The supernatural was what was living inside of him. This was flesh. If you cut it, it bled. That's right. When he didn't sleep, when he's helping all these people, he would pray for people, they would get healed, and then he would sit down and groan with a headache. He was a man. And he faced every temptation. How could he face those temptations when this was a spoken word body? That God created this body, created this blood. How could he be tempted? He's teaching us something. He's revealing things. See? I'm a Trinity in one. I'm soul, body, spirit in one person. Is that right? Sure. I'm made up of cells, blood, and nerves, yet one, one being. So that's what every one of us are. We're one being. We're one human being. And yet we're a threefold person, a body, soul, and spirit. That's everything's in three. So then he says, I'm made up of cells, blood, and nerves, and yet one being. See, everything you look at is in a trinity, and a trinity in one. There was a trinity in the ark. See, in the ark was three floors. The bottom floor was the creeping things. And the second floor was the fowls, and the flying things, and the third floor for Noah and his family. And so, I have a whole different perspective of this thing after seeing that ark that they built there in, I think, is it Kentucky? Is that what that's at? Kentucky? So just right there, close to Indiana. And I, somehow or another, you always have a carnal idea. And so I just always picture them all bundled up in there. There's a bunch of animals and they're just all like, you know, just one level and they're sleeping with the animals and everything's just all right there together. And, but when you go and you see the way they built it, and I don't know how accurate it is, but it was impressive all the same because they had it where they could feed them and water them. They had created these like wooden troughs where they could feed them and water them. And it just, you know, it would go and then they had a way to clean out the manure and all of that stuff. And the only thing I didn't get was that was on the bottom floor, how they got that back up, because that's the part that was under the water. So it wasn't going to just be open the door and let it out. But anyways, it still was good. But one of the most amazing things is when you get to the top floor and you look at where they lived. That was astounding to me because it never occurred to me that they had, you know, they had some planters there and they had vegetables growing there and they had that window and then their quarters were so comfortable. I mean, you know, it was just, it was really, it just looked so nice. You know, I thought, man, I could stay there. You know, it just looked that good. And so it gave me a whole different perspective. But we don't know how much of that it was there, but you can be sure God did it. God did it. And, you know, none of that's there. So maybe some of it is. Some of it's there. But if God can stop the mouth of lions, yes, and God, the Bible says they brought those animals in two by two. Is that right? Does it say that they captured them? That they trapped them and they captured them and brought them in? I hadn't read that. But I don't know how they got them in there. I don't know if God just subdued them and they came. I don't know if he just got them in there and just let them hibernate and they didn't do much of anything during that time. I don't know. But I do know that the whole thing was God's plan. And God made it happen. And God made it work. See? Now, he said in the tabernacle, that was in the ark. He said in the tabernacle, there was a congregation, there was a holy place, and there was a holiest of holies. So, and then he says, and then there's been three dispensations of God. See, the fatherhood, the sonship, and the Holy Spirit dispensation. You see what I mean? See, and those three, we don't say our gods, like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We don't say our gods. We say our God, because there's one. See, that's heathen. And the Jew knows that. And when you can make it to him that this Jesus is God, Jehovah God, not a second person or a third person, it's the same person all the time making himself manifest, see? And then with signs and wonders to prove that Jesus has rose from the dead. Amen. So, he's, each one of those has given us a little bit. Now, this is in the curtain of time, 1955. He said, my sheep know my voice. See, they were spiritual inside. And when they see him, they recognize that he was different from those priests and from those teachers and so forth. So they followed him wherever he went. And they loved him. And they couldn't understand him. You notice the difference. He starts off saying this. He's leading you to believe that they understood what he was talking about. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that there was something in there that made them believe this man, that made them follow this man, that made him recognize that this was God. But that didn't mean they understood everything that he said. They didn't. And we prove that in our scripture that we read. See? They couldn't understand him. He was a mystery even to the apostles. And no one could understand him because there was two people talking all the time. Wow. There was what? There was two people talking. The person of Jesus Christ was talking. That was the man. That was the man Jesus. The person of Jesus Christ. Say, brother, this is why this was hard to go preach those early days. Because it's so close. It's so close. And I can remember the first time, Brother Goomba, right there in Meru, those brothers, Brother Huntington and Paul and some of those brothers, and I love those brothers. I got to see some of my, Huntington I think has passed away, but Paul was there when we went to Pocot, and Brother Carithi, those brothers, had a good time with them, really did. And so, but as soon as I started talking about this, they were like, that's two gods. You're preaching two gods. I said, no, I'm not preaching. I said, there's only one God. There's only one God. But this Jesus was a man. And the problem is, Brother Branham said, he was 100% God. So if you stay with that, then you can't. Then Jesus is not a man anymore. He was 100% God, and Brother Branham said he was 100% a man. So you got to put it together, and you got to understand it. And you can only understand it if he lets you understand it. So that was 100% a man with the fullness of the Godhead 100% in him. That's what it was. And it's easy to misunderstand it. It's easy for people to misunderstand what you're saying and make it two. It's not two. It's one. There's one God. But he's not one like your finger. He's not one like your finger. Because that was a man. That was a man. And that man was created by the Father. It's just close, isn't it? Just close, isn't it? The person of Jesus Christ was talking, and God was talking in him also. Sometimes it was Christ himself, and sometimes it was the Father that dwelt in him. Two people were talking. Christ and the Father. How about that? Do you see it? He couldn't understand some of the things he would say. Is he saying that about Jesus? Because that's what Brother Branham said. And that's what Brother Branham said about those prophets back there. They didn't understand what they were saying sometimes. Because sometimes it was the man, and sometimes it was God. Sometimes it was William Branham, and I forget, Brother Richard probably knows, because he used to have that tape, he used to talk about it a lot, where Brother Branham was in those meetings, and the voice started speaking, saying, this is not William Branham. You remember that, brother? You remember what message that was? No. It's been a while. It's been a while. But anyways, I think it was in California though, wasn't it? I'm not sure. But anyway, I won't assume anything on that. But the prophet's preaching and the anointing becomes so powerful that God takes over the voice. This is way before the seals. This was before the seals, and says, this is not William Branham. And he continues. I haven't read it in a long time, but I need to freshen up on it, because it's pretty powerful when you think about it. See, can we just read that again? Because this is enlightening, and it's misunderstood. No one could understand him because there was two people talking all the time. Paragraph 23. The person Jesus Christ was talking, and God was talking in him also. Sometimes it was Christ himself, and sometimes it was the Father that dwelt in him. You see it? They couldn't understand some things he would say. He talked in riddles to them. Jesus finally said, when he was talking to them one day, how I come from God, I come into the world, I go back again to God. And now, let me straighten something up I just said here, because I placed him like the prophets, that he didn't know what he was saying. I don't want to take that back. I don't think that's what he's saying. So He was the Word. The Father was the Spirit. And Jesus was the Word. And so I'm not saying he didn't know, but he said that he did nothing until the Father showed him. And so I think when the Father showed him, then he knowed. So Jesus finally said, when he was talking to them one day, he said, I came from God, I come into the world, and I go back again to God. So the disciples said, now you speak plainly, now we understand, we believe, see, that you're the one. That's right. Calling Jesus on the scene, this is after the seals now. Remember, in flesh, he was just a man. But in spirit, he was God. But a man in flesh. Therefore, his body was a human body that was subject to temptation, subject to sickness, and just the same as ours. As he had to put on, be a man, a human. And then he was God in the spirit. And he said, I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. See? And when John baptized him on the river Jordan, we see God descending from heaven like a dove. And the voice saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Now, if you take the original, really the way that it's wrote, it's whom I'm pleased to dwell in. See? But they put the verb before the adverb, in whom I'm pleased to dwell, or in whom I'm pleased to dwell, whom I'm pleased to dwell in. See? That's right. So, what is he saying happened here? That at the River Jordan, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. As there was a time, I couldn't comprehend that because I believed he was just God, all God, and that was it. But then to go with this, that he received the Spirit here at the River Jordan, then it says that the Spirit left him and he went to Calvary as a man. So he received the Spirit of God, and then when he went to Calvary, he went there as a man. He didn't go there as God. The Spirit left him. That's our Bible. That's our Bible. See? He, God, dwelt in Christ, and in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God expressing himself through Jesus, and Jesus was the vindication of God. Can you understand it now? See? Not three people. Three attributes of one God. Not three gods. See? Three gods, heathen. See? Not three gods. Father, Son, Holy Ghost isn't three different gods. It's one God in three manifestations. See? God the Father in the form of the Holy Spirit was in the pillar of fire that no one could touch around him. He was holy. No sin offering was made, just a potential offering. That's right. Now that same pillar of fire, the fatherhood, came down and was made God in the sonship. See, that same God, not another God, the same God, came down in that veil of flesh. And he dwelt in a pillar of fire. I'm sorry. He came down and was made God in the sonship. And he dwelt in a pillar of fire in the Shekinah glory. See, here he dwelt in a body, which was his Son that he created and made in the form of a man, so that made man the son, that made that man the son of God, the second Adam. Now he had to come through the womb of a woman, not like Adam, because that's what he had to condemn, the birth of a human being by a woman. Now, we know Adam was also the creation, but you know what he's talking about, you know what he's saying. He's talking that sin came from the fall. And so what Eve done there, that's how it came forth. And Adam was a part of it. So he's not saying it wrong. I'm just making sure that we get the picture. So he had to come that way so that God's the Son and the same God. Now he, through offering that body without sin, made a human offering. And now the sail, or the spirit life. Listen what he's saying here, because this helped me. I just seen it a little bit clearer this time, if from all the other times that it's been read. The cell or the spirit life. That's where the life is. It's in that cell. Lays in the blood. The life is in that blood cell. And when the blood cell of a lamb or an animal was broken, the life that was in that cell could not come back upon the worshiper. Why? Because they didn't have a soul. It was just an animal. So that life could not come back. And so that life was an animal life. This life that's going to come is going to be God life. And that's the reason that this one's going to work. Because it's going to be God life. And when that comes forth, then that's going to clear it for all human beings. That's going to open the door and make the way. See, the life that was in that cell could not come back upon the worshiper. Because it was an animal. And we are human beings. And we are different. An animal doesn't have a soul. The human being has a soul. And the spirit could not come back on him after he made his offering. See? So he made that offering, he made that sacrifice, and that cell was killed, that the blood was shed, but it couldn't come back. But here's one that will, that can, that did. But yet he made it, sincerely speaking, with faith that he believed that the perfect offering was coming. And when the blood cell was broken, Jesus Christ, God was released. Praise be to God. When that cell broke, that's where the eternal life was. Not just life, human life, but eternal life. When that cell broke, it released God. See? And he was God. That blood wasn't Jewish and that blood wasn't Gentile. It was a creative blood cell, God himself. What was it? That man. That man was a created blood cell of God, a creation of God. And when they took that life and that cell, God was released. There was God manifested. And then on Calvary, when that blood came forth, it paid the price once and for all. That was a creative blood cell, God himself. And now through that blood, making a propitiation of our sins, cleanses the believer, takes all of his sins away from him, as if he never had sinned. Praise God. And God puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. And the same God that was upon Jesus Christ continues in the believer, doing the same works that he did here, for it's the same Spirit. That's right. And there's God, see? Not three gods. Oh, how many of you Trinitarian people get that mixed up? How you oneness people got it mixed up too? If him being one like your finger, see? They both got it mixed up. See, that's right. He's the one God. He's the one God like your finger one. How could he be his own father? He wasn't. Jesus didn't create himself. The eternal Spirit of God created that body of flesh. And then the eternal Spirit of God came into that body of flesh. And then went to Calvary, and that body of flesh died. But God didn't die. See, that's right. He's the one God like your finger. One, how could he be his own father, see? He can't be his own father. If he had another father outside of the Holy Spirit, and if God is a man, a person, see, the Holy Spirit was his father, and God is his father, Matthew 1. So then he was illegitimate child, see? You can't make it either way. It's both wrong. He was God manifested in a flesh of his creative son, see? Now that's God created the son. Praise be to God. That's it. That's what it was. God manifested in the flesh of his creative son. And when you Catholic people say eternal sonship, where do you get such a word? It doesn't make sense to me, see? How can he be eternal and be a son? A son is something that's begotten of. How can it be eternal? Eternal never did begin. It never does end. How could it be an eternal sonship? It died. That body died. That man died. Guess what? This body's going to die too.
Just like that body died. That created body died. This that came by sex, it's going to die too. But you know what's not going to die? That life that was inside of him and that soul that's inside of us. No, you can't associate that with this. No, no, no. That doesn't work. Because this is going to die. Because this is not eternal. But that soul in there, that's eternal. That's eternal. Is that what the prophet said? That's exactly what he said. Eternal never did begin. It never does end. So how could it be eternal sonship? Oh my. Skipping down. Paragraph 49. Now you say, how could he be God and be man? See? There's the mystery. See? In body, he was a man. In spirit, he was God. That's plain enough, isn't it? Somebody asked me then, who did he pray to in the Garden of Gethsemane? I said, I'll answer you when you answer this. Do you believe you have the Holy Ghost? Yes. I said, then who do you pray to? How about it? Is that right? We say he's in here, and we stand and we pray. That's right. He received the Holy Ghost, and he prayed to God the Father. He was a man. I'm not taking away from him being God, because he was 100% God. He was 100% God. But he was a man. You claim you have him, and yet you're praying to him, see? People, they just get some idea, and they run wild with it, see? That's the way it goes. Praise God. Now in spirit, he was God. Jesus said in John 3, see, the Son of Man, which is now in heaven, yet standing on the earth. The Son of Man, which is now in heaven. See? How would you answer that? See? He said he was in heaven. And here he was standing on the earth. See? He had to be God, omnipresent. See? He's present everywhere. He knows every thought by being omniscient. Knowing all things, he can be omnipresent. That's right. Praise God. In Elisha the prophet, this is 1956, paragraph 21. Now a double portion of Elijah's spirit come on Elisha. And he'd done twice the miracles that Elijah did. And a double portion of the Holy Spirit, see? And now I want you to notice, Elijah had a robe as a symbol. A robe was what he was wrapped in, and it was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And as he went up, he watched, and the robe fell back from the chariot. And he picks up the robe and laid it on his own shoulders and went down to Jordan and started doing the miracles. See? And Jesus, the baptism that he had was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was in him. See? That came on him at the River Jordan after he was baptized in water. John bear record, seeing the Spirit of God like a dove coming on him. You notice. Then when he went up, he went back. The same robe that he was wrapped in, the Holy Ghost upon the church. When he went up, he sent back the same robe that he was wrapped in. There's your Elijah and Elisha. There's the groom and the bride. Can I read that one part again? The baptism, and Jesus, the baptism he had was the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which was in him, which come on him at the River Jordan after he was baptized in water. Okay. Is that clear so far? Is he making it clear? I think he's making it clear. So, This is palmer worm, locust, cankerworm, caterpillar, 140. They had now, in order to do that, they had to get something to go with it. So that's how they do when they're making up their own revelation or their own interpretation. They have something, they'll get out of the word, but then they got to get something to go with it. They'll make something to go with. See, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now, absolutely, there's no such thing. It's not three gods. That's heathenism, see? There's three offices of the same God. The fatherhood, when God dwelt alone, holy, his laws, his righteousness makes him holy. He wanted to be in man. He wanted to worship, to worship with man. He wanted man to worship him. He had to come to man. And then when he did, he created, overshadowed a little virgin named Mary. God, Jehovah, did, and created in her womb a cell, a blood cell. And that blood cell developed cells and was brought forth a man, see, which was Jesus Christ. God Almighty, the Father, dwelt in him. See, he just told us that was God. That cell was God in him. See, and at the day of the baptism, when he received the Holy Ghost on the day when John said, I beheld and saw the Spirit of God like a dove descending from heaven, and a voice saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. And Jesus said that God was with him. I and my Father are one. My Father dwells in me, not Jesus, see, and being one with God, but God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's right. It was the Father doing it all. And you oneness, brother, many of you get off on the wrong track when you try to think that God is one like your finger is one. He can't be his own Father. He can't. See? But he is God, and God is Jehovah, the Spirit. Christ was the house that he dwelt in. And then he sacrificed his life, and when he did, he gave up the Spirit. See? And through this unadulterated blood that he shed, he sanctified me that he might come himself and dwell in me and in you. And God is with us. That's the Holy Ghost, which is the same, the very same God, Jehovah God. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. And the things that I do shall you do also. That's right. And he went to the right hand of God, where the Bible said, I looked up and seen Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's right. Okay, I'm gonna try to move down just a little bit. He goes into the baptism a little bit there, but he's identifying. Let's try 149. Look, the devil takes that scripture and makes it look like something that it isn't. Did not he say the same thing to Jesus? Now, the scripture that he read was Matthew 28:19. Be baptized in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. And so Brother Branham is saying, that scripture looks like it's saying one thing, and it means something different. It don't mean to baptize in the titles, because Father's a title and Son's a title, it's not a name. But the scripture says baptize in the name. And so the revelation was the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Catholic Church took it, and they began to baptize in titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And it's there today. And so now he's going to bring this over and say the devil tried to do the same thing to Jesus, but he was the Word. Look, the devil takes that scripture and makes it look like something it isn't. Did not he say the same thing to Jesus? It's written. He's going to give his angels charge concerning you, lest any time you dash your foot against a stone. I always wondered about this scripture, and I never studied it. I never searched it out. And it just hit me, just when he was saying this. He never dashed his foot against a stone. Satan was making that part up. Like it was scripture. It wasn't scripture. Satan just added that in there. See? But the devil, he never dashed his foot against a stone, but the devil was trying to make him see something that the scripture didn't say. That's what people do. That's what preachers do. They get an idea and then they'll say it in a certain way to try to make you think it's saying something that they think it says. Not necessarily what he said, but they'll make you think something that they have in their mind they want you to think. There's too much of it. Too much of it. God help us. That's all I know to say. God help us to get away from those spirits that make us want to be somebody, that make us want to be the first one, or make us willing to change or add to or take away to get people to follow an idea that we have. I don't want that. I know you don't want that. None of you, I know that. But I'm saying that spirit is there. and it's rampant in the message. It's just rampant. When I hear preachers talking about themselves, that they're the first one, or they're this, or they're that, it concerns me. It concerns me. Not because they're not maybe the first one. Maybe they are. And that's wonderful. And to me, the way to do it is, say it is the first one. Then the person who should say it is not you. It should be the people hearing it. They should say, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Not place him somewhere where you don't need to be. But you don't lift yourself up. You don't lift yourself up. Let God lift you up. I can remember, matter of fact, something crossed my mind this morning. And you know, Brother Branham, he was standing one time and people were coming out the door and he was shaking their hands. And I don't remember the exact wording, but somebody told him what a great message and he said, thank you. And then a man criticized him for saying thank you and acknowledging. And Brother Branham said, well, I'm just honest. I'm glad they enjoyed the message. You know, just that's the fact. And so we wouldn't be standing here if, you know, we feel like that God called us to preach. And so then you're hoping that somebody's benefiting. You're hoping. I've been plenty of places where they didn't. And they told you they didn't. They didn't believe it. They didn't want it. They didn't want you. They didn't need you. You didn't have to come back. I've been there. And so it feels really good when somebody tells you that they appreciate it. And I can remember preaching on the Godhead in Theka Church, and it's been a long time ago. And it was, you know, one of the first times I preached let us create man in our image. Let us. And I was dealing with that. And I preached about 2 hours. And nobody said nothing. And so, yeah, I think it went okay. And so that afternoon, I got a text. It's about 4 or 5 hours later from Sister Goomba. And she said, brother, she said, that was a great mystery. That was a great mystery. Talking about who is us? Who is us? What the prophet said and what the Bible said, bringing it down. She said, that was a great mystery revealed. Not saying that I did anything, just appreciating. And you don't know how much it how good it feels when somebody that you know is spiritual gives you a compliment. That it really, it's encouraging. It's encouraging because you think preachers don't get discouraged. You think preachers don't get lonely. You think preachers, everything just comes to them and they just, everything's easy. And it's not, is it, Brother Goomba? Brother Michael, it's not. You fight. You battle. You struggle. Sometimes you might be studying 4 or 5 messages at one time and you don't know what to do, what to say, which one. Because you truly are trying to get the leading of the Spirit of God. Amen. If we're just going to come here and preach whatever we want to, whenever we want to, then that's no problem. I can just grab a book off the shelf and start reading it. And just go with it. And then take the next book and the next book. But you're looking for God to guide you in that. And that's why the preacher struggles. That's why he struggles. You hear Brother Goomba talk about it. You hear me talk about it. That's what it is. It's not because you can't find something to preach. We got lots to preach. We got lots of books. We got over 1,000 messages. It's there. What we want is him to speak. That's what we want. We want him to speak. See? Satan's smooth, isn't he? He never dashed his foot against a stone, but the devil was trying to make him see something that the scripture didn't say. He was smart. He was filled with God. God was in him. And God being in a man will make his revelation known. Praise God. That's true. And he took these things back into the prophets and how that they, when, and I deleted a lot of that out because I just taken so much time and looks like my time is getting away. But I think it was Elijah, and I think he talked about Jonah and these different ones, that when the anointing was on them, they just were speaking the word of God. They weren't afraid of nobody. They couldn't, they didn't back down from nobody. They stood right there in the face of death, in the face of kings, in the face of anything. And Brother Branham, when he talked about Jonah, he said he went in there and he delivered his message and did his, and then he went down, sat under a tree and cried and wanted God to take him. He said, just take me. He talked about Elijah, how he stood in the face of the king, told him that it wasn't going to rain, wasn't going to this, killed those 400 and something prophets. And then he comes down there to Jezebel, to a woman, and she threatens him and he runs. Huh? He just killed 400, 450 prophets. And now he's running from a woman? He said the Spirit had left him. The Spirit had left him. How many times? I'll take you to Matthew 28:19. Go you therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them, see? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's right. He's saying, now watch this extreme tritheist. Okay. So I went and I got the dictionary meaning. In Christian theology, the doctrine of or belief in the three persons of the Trinity as three distinct gods. See the difference there? This word means it's three different gods. These three persons are three different gods. And this guy who come with this idea, I looked it up, and he actually got his revelation from the Trinity doctrine. So they were saying it was one God, so he came and said, no, this is three people. This is three persons. And so it's three gods. And so anyway, so then on the Trinity, the Christian Godhead as one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, see, a group of three people or things, see. So the Trinity is one God, three people. And so this other is three people, three gods, see. And now this guy here, he's the one who started this, John. He started it. It's the belief of three gods has been present in various forms throughout the history. See, he was a Christian philosopher and theologian. He introduced tritheism in the world in the 6th century. And he was charged with this because he saw it in the Trinity as separated three natures, substance, deeds, whatever. Okay. So going back to the quote. See, and Brother Branham is saying, let me pick up that first sentence there. Now watch how this extreme from the Catholic Church, and I put in there 325 AD. 325 AD is when the Catholic Church started the Trinity doctrine. It was not, and Brother Branham said, it's not, that word is not in the Bible. Just like the word rapture is not in the Bible. And we actually, we don't think about it sometimes. We don't think about it. Is it something, we were talking not too long ago about the fivefold ministry. And Brother Goomba started searching on it and he come back and he said, you know, he put on the group, he said, do you know that the word fivefold ministry is not in the Bible? Not in the Bible? It's not there. Rapture's not in the Bible. Trinity's not in the Bible. Then where did it come from? Huh? It's coming. Man's ideas. See, never was in the Bible, never was in the anti-Nicene fathers or the pre-Nicene fathers. See, they were everyone baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, every one of them. It came through the Catholic Church, come from there on out into the Protestant Church. Now, how can you see it without God opening your eyes. You can't. I pray that God will open your eyes to this. See, and just listen closely now. See, it's not even written in the scriptures. You say, and let's skip that because I didn't say it. Now I believe in the fatherhood of God. I believe in the sonship. I believe in the Holy Ghost dispensation of God. Three dispensations. See, but it's the same God in every dispensation, not three gods. That's right. Okay. Okay, I think, let's see if I can cut some of this out of here. Yeah, let's just move a little bit. You can go back and read this later. It's telling us how people get the attitude that there's something. Let's just drop to 135. Now, we who think we got a change of clothes and a few groceries in the house, what are we? God could take it in a second. And we've seen that over and over. We see people that look sufficient, they look stable, they look everything, and then in a moment's time, it's gone. Everything's gone. I've seen people that were wealthy, and then it'd be gone. And I say there was something, that's why so many people back in the Great Depression here in the United States, when the economy fell out, people were, some of them had became, not millionaires in those days, but they were filthy rich. If you had $10,000 in the early 1900s, you was considered a rich, rich man. And a lot of them had put their money in the stock market, and the stock market failed. One day, they were some of the richest people in the city, and the next day, they were the poorest. They had nothing. All of their wealth was on paper. It was all on paper. It was in the market, and the market went down. And there was, it just... Well, you know what happened to the country in those days? It was like third world country. It was really bad. People were starving to death. People sold their children. You've seen those pictures? People sold their children. You can find those pictures if you go back. They were so poor they couldn't feed them, and they wanted. And that's why this is something that people have not understood. But I feel like that I have. A little bit, when they had that bad hurricane in Haiti a few years ago. Remember, those people were giving their children away. They were giving them to people. They were coming in and taking them, trying to cross the border. And there were some churches here that was doing it, and some of them got in trouble for it. But I thought, how could those people do it? We say they didn't love them. No, they did love them. They loved them so much that they wanted them to be fed. They wanted them to be educated. They wanted them to they wanted them to have a better life than what they had. And sometimes we think our love is, we won't let go. Sometimes that's true. But sometimes life can be so hard and so bad that you have to let go to give them the right love. And I don't even like to think about that. But when I seen people that was doing it, and at first I thought that's just wrong. And then I thought, no, that's how bad life is. That's how bad their life is. And so I think if you could love your child that much, that you want what's best for them. Isn't that what Brother Branham said about a wife, a husband and a wife? He said about a woman, you want what's going to make her happy. We who think we got a change of clothes and groceries and all that, said that'll go away. And here in our midst, to your every breath holds in his hand. And here in our midst, to heal the sick, to proclaim and profess, to foretell, and every time perfect, and even concerned enough to bring a little dead fish back to life again, its life again, in the midst of us, Jehovah around us, Jehovah in us, the great and mighty I am. And when he died, they thought... they had him. He ascended into hell. And when he left the earth that day, when he was crucified, he went into the regions of the lost, the Bible, and said, and he went and he preached the souls that were in prison, that repented not in the long suffering in the days of Noah. And when he died and his spirit left him, he became the Logos again. See, said, I come from God, I go back to God. Huh? He came from there. He went back to there. Who was that? The flesh? No. It was that God on the inside. Amen. That God on the inside. He came from spirit. He went back to spirit. God was that pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, that led the children in the wilderness. And when he was here on earth, and when he died, he turned back to a light again. And Paul saw him. He was a light. And none of the rest of them saw him. They seen fall Paul. They seen Paul fall, and something struck him, and it was a light. And Paul said, "Who is it that I persecute?" Huh? He's talking to the light. And who did the light say he was? "I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus." This pillar of fire identified himself with the same name as that man did. And that man said, "I came in my Father's name. And I send the Holy Ghost in my name." It's not three people, and it's not two people. It's one. One of them is the eternal spirit, and the other one was a man, a created man. He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Who is it?" He said, "I'm Jesus that you persecute. And it's hard for you to kick against the pricks." See? Then he went and studied that light. He went to the backside of the desert, studied that light. Paul went back in the Bible to find out what that light was. But he knew, he said, "Lord, who are you, Lord?" But he had a lot of revelation was fixing to come and did come. And he wrote this letter. He's the same Jehovah, that same light that was in the wilderness with the children of Israel. And when Peter was in the prison, he was a light. And he came in and opened the doors. Huh? The light. God, the eternal spirit. He came in there with nobody and opened the door. Praise be to God. Mm-mm-mm. Let's see. This last quote, it's a little bit long. I'd like to, let's see, so it's about 4 minutes. And I think we can finish this just a little bit. Let's just start here, paragraph 73, and maybe I'll skip some of it or not. If you'll just bear with me. "A little while, and the world seeth me no more. Yet you'll see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, even to the end of the world." That's right. He's here now. And in the days, see, how his big picture always revolved up and made the same thing come to pass that we're seeing now. The great drama is set, and we're ready to see great things happen. And the church has been brought from the cradle. That's right. Pentecostals rocked it down yonder a few years ago. Back there while the people throwed stones and made fun, laughed. But she's grown into maturity now. That's exactly right. The hour's here. Hallelujah. That's right. That's what I'm interested in, to see God's church coming together now. Amen. We've been beat out here. We've been beat out there. But the hour's coming when God's throwing the blanket around us to draw us in, while the enemy's at the gate. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. You know, it's something when we can look back and see how the prophet was seeing this whole thing shaping up. And he was trying to tell them. He was trying to tell them. In some places he was more plain about it. But he knew that we were headed to something. He knew that God was doing something. He's standing now for his people. Daniel said the great things of the last days. When these things come to pass, my, the great exploits will the people then, see, the men of faith will do in that day. And the hour has come now when the great drama picture God set forth of the latter rain. Joel said, "In the last days it shall come to pass. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Upon my handmaidens and maidservants will I pour out of my spirit, and also signs in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, pillars of fire and vapors of smoke. And it shall come to pass before that great and terrible day of the Lord shall come, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, these things that I do, shall you do. Greater than this, for I go to my Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's what it said. See, in the word back there, he said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. Dropping down into 77, the blue. We've stood on that rock, that's true, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, and now the power of Almighty God is pouring out on the church, coming forth. And I just want to shake the whole thing everywhere. See, brother, it's already in session right now. It's going on. Now, this one I didn't get to cut out some of the things. Sorry. Let's try verse 80. Paragraph 80. I thought there was some things in here that went with that. And that same power, that same Christ, hallelujah, let the fundamentalists, let them people who deny the power of God say it's wrong. But that same power that spoke the world into existence is in those people that's got the Holy Ghost. That's right. Men and women, it's time that we found out who you are. The devil's trying to hide you back, tell you that you're some little trod down something. You're not. You're sons and daughters of God. The deity is not in heaven. It's in you. Where was it? Where was it with Jesus? It was in that man. It was in that man. Now where is it? It's in you. The deity is not in heaven. It's in you. Hallelujah. I know you think I'm crazy, but let me tell you something, brother. When you realize that Almighty God lives in you, immortal life, my life I give, Zoe, the life of God is in the human being. He's the creator of all things. He made life, frogs, ducks, chickens, everything, created everything, nothing made but what was made by him. Christ, the deity, he brought down plagues, everything in the days of Egypt. Who? Christ. He stopped the mouth of lions. He quenched the violence of fire. He escaped the edge of the sword. They raised the dead from the grave. Who? Christ. My, what would it be? Who is it? Christ, the deity. That was Christ in Moses. That was Christ in Elijah. And brother, sister, that deity's in you. A little while and the world seeth me no more. Yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the age. Christ in the manger? No. Christ in you. Hallelujah. We're not worshiping Christ in the manger, but Christ in you, the Holy Ghost, the hope of life. Hallelujah. The Creator, God Himself, dwelling in the human being. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall see Him as He is, for we'll be made like Him. That's right. Oh my. That's right. That's where he is. That's where he is. And so, Jesus was a man. And the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in that man. And he opened the door so that we could have that same life living in us. That same life. And so, that was the fullness. Now, it's in his wife, in his bride. And we thank him for that. We thank God. So, we appreciate each one, and we want to just give ourselves daily, and we want to continue to be in prayer concerning Easter. I want to keep reminding that, and also we mentioned if you feel like you're able to keep somebody during that time, if you'll let us know, we'll make a note of it and be ready for those days. And then we've sent out a lot of invitation. We appreciate Brother Michael handling those things. And so, I know it's a lot of work, and it's work I don't like to do. I hate office work. I just don't like it, and I have a hard time with my business. And I would rather just go work and never have to do the office. But you have to do something, so, or it doesn't work. So We're going to ask you to stand together with us, and wondering if we could sing a song this morning. We'll ask Brother Michael if he'll come around and disguise us. Amen.
Praise be to his name. Amen. So, it's good to see Sharon with us. We just thank the Lord.
Amen.
So.
Amen. I enjoyed that. It's something that I needed more of. I believe it, and I know Brother Don said kind of got picked on, maybe not understanding it for so many years, and I'm raising the message my whole life, and I can tell you that I'm not where I want to be on it to be able to talk about the Godhead like I want to. So when he started talking about or mentioning that he might minister on it, I'm like, good, thank you, Lord. Because I need it, and God knows our needs, and he's always going to supply them. So, didn't have a song come to my mind. Let's thank God I'm free. Thank God I'm free. Someone says, well, I was the first one. I did this and I did this. And like Brother Don said, you might have been the first one to say it, but you wasn't. It didn't come from you. If it come from you, I don't want no part of it. I don't want this I business. God gave you grace and gave you something. Hallelujah. Thank you. But I want him to do for me what he did for you.
Amen.
And that's what we should want.
That's right.
We didn't do nothing. We didn't go into the message and pull this out and put this together and now we can talk about it. It was the grace of God that come on the scene and gave it to us. And you might be the first one in your country. You might be the first one in your family. Good for you. But He didn't do that just for you. He did it for a reason. And He did it for you to shine a light to someone. Yeah. And to give it. And when I get nervous when people say, well, I did this and I did that. I was like, well, then you continue doing what you're doing if that's what you feel led to do. But I want God to do it for me. I want God to work. So, Brother Goodman, come around and dismiss us in a word of prayer. And continue to pray one for another.
Amen.
And we know that got a lot of people that want to come over. And God is more than able. And as long as He's doing it, it'll all work out. Bless you, brother. Bless you.
I'm sorry. His voice is not the... I don't know what is it a soprano? It is a soprano. His soprano voice is gone. It has a bass like me now. I'm sorry about that. You know what you're saying, even if you're not saying the way you should say it. You know it. You know what's in your heart, brother. God bless you. God bless you. We love you, brother. We hope that you guys are back and you're healed. Brother Richard, I can see you. He was down also. And we are very thankful for that. We really pray for you, brother, that you come to this. I'm very, very happy that we come to this, brothers. I'm very, very happy that we come to this spirit now.
Amen.
This spirit that is not competitive. Yeah. That I did this, I was the first, I was this. Brother, you're not. Where do you think you're not? Brother, you're not.
Amen.
You think you're not. God did it first.
Yes.
God had Amen. It. In heaven, He brought you His prophet. And you don't know... This bride is in every nation.
Yeah.
You wonder how this bride can be in North Korea. You wonder that. But the word of God is real and true. It's got to come to pass. It's like that.
Amen.
In North Korea, there's a bride there. So if this what you think that you brought first or whatever is what is going to take the bride, is the food for the bride, what do you think that bride in North Korea is eating? One day, brother, mm-hmm. Elijah, Brother Don, God bless you, Elijah, after bringing all that he brought, after doing that great work for God, he sat down and cried, it's only me, and God, no, I have 7,000, and you wonder, where they were at, where they were, where, I mean, where are they,
yeah.
7,000, but he didn't know, brothers and sisters were somewhere. Brother, this is God.
Amen.
Whenever you put yourself, God is a jealous God. Amen. God is a jealous God. God is jealous. God does not want to hear His glory with nobody.
That's right.
Glory to His name. And that's how, glory to His name. If something has happened, if somebody has healed, praise be to God, it's God who did it.
Amen.
If there's a great message that has come, like Brother Don has brought a great message, praise be to God.
Amen.
It's God who has done it. He's going to use a man. He's going to use a sister. He's going to use whoever. I didn't decide that we'd come to that, to this. But we realize it's God. But now, we've come to a place, very many people, not us, very many people has come to a place where they are taking people to a man.
Yeah.
That denomination is started by a man. That denomination is started by a man. They're either taking the people to a church. That church belongs to somebody or to a theory. To a theory, somebody who started something. But the only you've come very well. I've never looked at it like that, where the devil was telling him that you come down because it is written. Mm-hmm. He had not dashed, he had not dashed the food, he had not done. But now the devil was telling him to dash it. The scripture did not say that he would dash it. Mm-hmm. You know, you start something and you go with it and you go with it, brother. Let's stick to what he said and leave it there.
Amen.
You know why we go to something else? It's because we want to be to sound like we are the first. You're not doing nothing. He's done it already, and he's holding his bride. The bride is on his heart, and he's there. The bride is there. She's there. She's comfortable. She's there.
That's right.
And we come to a place where the very thing, the very gift, like Don's gift, that's given to us, we start worshiping it. The very thing that God has given you, the very thing that is to worship you. And the prophet said, one time that happened, and God came, and God sent his prophet and crushed it down. That was the snake in the wilderness that was eating people. It was something that was given to the people to help them. A great gift to the people. But it came to a place where those people and that gift that God had given them, they started misusing it. They started making it God. God had come and destroyed it. And he always do that. That's right. Thank you, Father, for thy love, thy kindness, Lord God, and thy care, thy grace, Lord God, that, Lord God, you show when people are just like the way they are. Then you come, Lord God, and you help us the way you do. You've come a long way. We've come a long ways with you. And Lord, this is great that you can see that it's you. It's you. We humble ourselves, Lord God. Help us, Father. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to humble ourselves one with another. Even seeing like the other brother is better than me, and each one looking at it like that. A sister is better than me, Lord. Praying for one another, loving one another, Lord God. Upholding one another, Lord God. All being one in one body, Lord God. Help us to be like that. Help us to humble. Help us to surrender. Help us to give ourselves to you, Lord God. And Father, to keep you and to take you as the only one that is dated, that is supposed to be praised and glorified, Lord God. Not man, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for everything. Thank you for the hearing of my brothers. Thank you for the strength that you've given each one of us, Lord God. Thank you for your revelation, Lord God. Thank you for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen.